Radio. Listening to Glenn Coble, and we are doing On the Air. It's the name of the show, and we are on the air, and it's a kind of a chilly day today. I guess we're going to have to face facts. We're not too far away from, it is autumn, and today during Swap Shop, I'm going to be talking about all sorts of autumn trivia stuff, so you'll be smarter about autumn after that. And there's a lot of autumn can come on the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, or even as late as the 24th what is this month? September. And so it can come anytime, but today, I believe today is the first day of autumn. I'm going to check my phone, see if that's true. No, it was yesterday. Yeah, yesterday was autumn. So today is not autumn. but we're not too far behind the ball, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Last night, I spent some time with my new executive producer, Buddy, my little hound dog, and we talked about a lot of things. One of the things we talked about is where the world is right now, and we also talked about, I've had interest in why I am an atheist, and so I thought maybe I'd give you some of my background about that and why I go along that way. And I know I probably heard a couple of the radio's clicking off, but some people want to know why anybody would become an atheist in a quote-unquote Christian country. But you do understand that this is not considered a Christian country. This is a secular country with probably the dominant religion, organized religion, being called Christian in this country. And anymore, about 30% of the people in the United States consider themselves non-racial, or not, yeah, non-religious. They don't call, most people don't call themselves atheists. It's a little frightening to call yourself an atheist, because then everybody hates you. I'm not terribly afraid of that. I am afraid of people thinking that atheists or people that don't believe that there is a God are bad people, because I really think most of the atheists I know are more moral than many of the so-called Christians that I know. One of the things that Buddy told me to talk about is what's happening to America. And now he just gave me a quizzical look. He didn't really say anything. He just gave me a quizzical look when I said the American scene. I'm not exactly sure what he wanted me to say, but one of the things I was really wondering, and I asked him, he again didn't answer me. I asked him, are we re-entering the Dark Ages? Is this becoming a time of magical thinking over science? Much like the Dark Ages, back in the 1600s, I think it was, something like that. Or maybe the 16th century, I'm never quite sure what the difference, but you always go back one. If it's the 16th century, it would be the 1500s, right? But anyway, I kind of think that portions of the United States are going back to the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages are a time when people ruled by the sword, as opposed to by science. They ruled by the sword, as opposed to ethics. They had a moral code, I guess, but it was only applied to rich white men. And so I'm afraid there is a segment of the United States that is kind of going that direction. And even the women that are leaning that way tend to act like the people of the Dark Ages. You know, they're black and white, and there is no, you can't deal with them or they'll knock you down, you know, that type of person. Anyway, I don't like that type of person. I happen to be the type of person that will turn the other cheek for a while. You don't ever want to go up to somebody who claims they'll turn the other cheek and keep slapping them, because eventually they will get genuinely honked off and they might slap back. It's just the natural way of life. Anyway, I'm not really going to delve into that, but I thought it was interesting, and I have had people show an interest in what I believe about where we're going. I really think right now we just have to be strong, and we have to be thoughtful, we have to be progressive, we have to lean forward. Now, some people use the term progressive, much like they use the term liberal, as being bad, and it is not bad. It is probably the only way that civilization has succeeded and moved forward. Progress, that's where it comes from. Let's progress. So anyway, that's kind of what I'm leaning towards right now. Anyway, let's get back to a lot of people have said to me, well, not a lot of people, but some people, because I don't broadcast that I'm an atheist. Well, I guess I do broadcast that I'm an atheist. What am I talking about? I'm on the air broadcasting right now, and I'm saying it. But I don't try to go out of my way I don't find it a badge of courage to be an atheist. I just find it a long progress. I'm 75 years old. I started out as a minister's son, very good Christian minister's son. I did very few things that were wrong. There were a few. I did smoke, and I did drink a little after I got out of high school. Never drank in high school. I did chase girls. I didn't ever do anything like our former president talks about, that I can recall. I hope I didn't. If I did, I should be spanked. But anyway, I've gone through life as a growing thing. As I got older, I did things differently. As I started to think, which was way after college, I went through college without thinking, quite frankly. I was doing the chasing of the girls and the smoking and the drinking then. After I got out of college, I got married, I got serious, I got children, life changed. And I started to think about what I could give to my children that would make them better people. Actually, I was so ambitious in athletics that I really concentrated a lot on my job. I was very active in my athletic administration position. I spent, you know, hundreds of hours a week. Well, not hundreds of, but I did have one week I went over 108 hours. But I just worked real hard at my job. I don't know if you've heard the song Cats in the Cradle and Silver Spoon and all that stuff and Boy in the Moon. Well, anyway, my life was sort of like that. my children would say, "Dad, when you come home, we're going to have a lot of fun." You know, like the song says. And I said, "Yeah, we will, but I got it. My job's a headache, and I've got to be there, so I'll see you tomorrow." And now they say that to me, just like the song. As I got past that, and I got into later life, and I was working at the local credit union, and things were a little bit less hectic, I was able to reach out to my kids, which was wonderful. But again, their jobs were a pain in the neck, and they were working really hard, and one went to California, one went to North Carolina, and the other one stayed generally in the area. They were spread out all over the place. And but like the song, I'm hoping that at the end they will be proud of me and be like, want to be like Dad. I have always felt, and I think most of my atheist friends, and I'm calling some of my friends who call themselves agnostic, I'm calling them atheists, because I guess there's a difference, but it's people that aren't sure that there's a God are pretty much like those of us who are pretty sure that there isn't a God. I don't think anybody says absolutely there can't be a God. I don't think anybody says that. Tyson deGrasse doesn't say that. He doesn't even claim he's an atheist. He says atheists do things that he doesn't do. I mean, like claim there's no God when he has no proof that there is no God. Anyway, but most of us believe that humans we're better humans if we can act kindly to each other without the fear of God. If you have to have a fear to act the right way, what good is that? If you're a good person, you should have inside of you a desire to act kindly and in the right way to each other. Now, we've struggled with that through millennia. We had a wonderful Roman Catholic Church that developed the Crusades that slaughtered thousands of people. Most of the religions, all of the religions, say that your religion is not, you're an atheist, you're not really religious, unless you happen to be of their sect. That kind of sets up the question, okay, if my God isn't the real God, whose God is the real God? And there have been hundreds of different gods. So it's a difficult question to answer. But you know that the Christians know that their God is God because he left a Bible. By the way, the Bible was written long after Jesus. And I think like anywhere from 100 to 400 years after his passing. It was written by men at a time that there was deep corruption in the church. So I don't know. It seems very logical to me that it was just a ploy for certain people, like the popes or the kings or whatever, the people in charge. It was a ploy for them to have control over you and me. The general rabble. And I am a general rabble. Matter of fact, that's my side name, General Rabble. Which reminds me, my sister-in-law and I yesterday decided that we are going to start a new organization. And we're going to call it, instead of QAnon, we're going to call it Z-Anon. We like the letter Z. Much like the people who apparently started QAnon, like the letter Q, because nobody knows what the heck QAnon is, and nobody knows really where it started. But I'm going to tell you, Z-Anon is going to start right here in Marion, Ohio, and I am charged with my sister-in-law. And when we looked up the word Z-Anon, one of the inputs to Google said Z-Anon means kind, loving, cheerful, something like that. That's exactly what we want you to become. We want you to become riotously cheerful and kind. So, Xenon starts now. And watch out, because there will be Z's all over the place. If you go to a protest, there'll be somebody with a big smile on their face and a big Z on their placard. Don't you think it's nice? Much better than QAnon, where everybody's angry at everybody and everybody thinks everybody's trying to screw everybody up and everybody's mad and stuff like that, and everybody's making up stuff. So anyway, that's QAnon. We're going to do it. We're going to do it. Anyway, let's continue on my tirade about my being atheistic. So some of the things that many atheists believe I've been asked this a lot of times. Well, aren't you afraid of dying? Well, this is my thought on death. And I think it's generally the thought that most atheists have about death. It's just like pre-life. You know, when you were in the womb, you really don't have thoughts. Some people, you know, there are people that think that you can think back into the womb, but you really are an appendage onto your mother. You are nothing but a wart that is growing. But before that, what were you? Nothing. Do you remember anything? Of course you don't. There is no thought. You have no mental synapses that are clicking and telling each other what to think and stuff like that. There's nothing. And most of us atheists believe that when we pass, it's, you know, I'm more afraid of the way I'm going to pass than when I pass. Passing is the scary part. Getting to the other side, there is nothing. Yeah, most of us believe that you turn into stardust. Well, dust, dirt, whatever. But eventually, maybe 60 million years from now, you'll be flying around out in outer space trying to form, not trying, you don't have any choice because you're nothing, but maybe eventually forming a new star, which is absolutely glorious. Wouldn't you love to be a star? And that's what I really believe happens. Then there's nothing scary about going to nothing. I wasn't afraid to be nothing before I was born. So why be afraid to be nothing after I pass? I will admit the passing is a little scary. Everybody wants to die in their sleep, which would be the best way to pass. But that's the way my dad did, and I like that. I'll go along with that. It's the pain of dying of some nasty disease or something like that that we all fear more, I think, than the afterlife. And believe me, if you get to an afterlife and you say, ha, I knew Kobo wasn't going to get here, look around. I might be there. I have not been a bad person. I have acted very Christianly. And I believe that I said all my prayers when I was a kid. I was a devout Methodist because my dad was a Methodist minister. And I believed in such a thing as faith. But faith is nothing more than believing that it's true. So there are people right now that have faith that the American system of government is terrible. Well, that's your choice. But faith is just something you believe. It's not a fact, right? All right. I've led a pretty moral life, so why should I worry about hell? My father used to tell me that he couldn't find a definitive answer of what hell is in the Bible. Now, my father was a minister, so he should. I know he read the Bible quite often, but he had never found a definitive description of hell or what hell was. As a matter of fact, there are all sorts of descriptions of what hell might be like throughout the Bible, but they're being told to you by human beings that have never been there and claim that they were told by a dead man. Or claim that they talked to a man on a mountain in white robes and kind of ephemeral is the word, I think. I find it very hard to believe any of that. I also believe that religion was devised very early in mankind. I believe that probably cavemen had some form of superstitions that they called religion. What happened is they were walking along a path and a tiger jumped out and ate everybody but that person. Well, now that person says, I'm divine because I wasn't eaten, so this is what we should do. I know, I'm being silly about it, but in my life, all 75 years, I've learned that people make up stuff to enhance their own position. And if that isn't what religion does, I'll eat your hat. It does. It makes up, or at least it proposes, you know the word. It tries to imply that they have all the answers. And if you don't believe, then you're going to go to hell, or you're going to, something bad's going to happen to you, because you got to believe in my religion. Only my religion. If you believe in somebody else's religion, all those people are going to hell too. So it's just too far-fetched. That's what I believe. The fact that many religions rest on ideas that were thought to be correct hundreds of thousands of years ago, or at least hundreds of years ago. I will say hundreds of years ago, because John Smith, who devised the Mormon religion, which includes magical underwear. Come on, please. And claims to be Christian-esque, I guess. Sorry, I had to break away and have a little cough. I know, that's God's way of spanking me. I kind of forgot where I was going. I've got to look back at my phone here and find out where I was. Oh, yeah. The religions rest on thoughts and beliefs that were devised at least thousands of years ago. Some of them, okay, the Christian religion, let's say it began 2,021 years ago. Some scientists say 2,018 years ago, because the star flew over Bethlehem 3 years after what we call A.D. Anyway, at least that's what I got out of the show I watched at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago. 2,000 years ago, most people, I don't know of anybody that thought the Earth was round. Okay? You'll give me that, I assume. 2,000 years ago, nobody knew anything about physics. 2,000 years ago, there were no cars, there were no airplanes, there were no guns, there were spears and arrows and things like that. There were ways of killing each other, but that's always been around because we wanted to have the power over the other guy. Well, since our religion started at that time, wouldn't it also imply that one of the reasons why we have religion is to empower you to overtake your opponent or overtake the other guy, your neighbor? And Jesus did come along and tell us to love our neighbor. I noticed a lot of you were really not paying attention. I hope I paid attention. I paid attention to my dad and my mother. My mother was a devotee to loving thy neighbor. She really was. And she really did, much more than I do. But it did kind of stick with me. Now, my sister was even better at that. It just seems to me that the facts line up that religion was used to empower certain people to overcome other people so they could tell you or me what to do. So the gentlemen in the big marble buildings out in Washington, D.C. who are screaming, freedom, freedom, they want freedom for themselves. And probably not a whole, they don't care a whole lot about whether you really have it. They're just using that to get you riled up so you'll do what they say. It just seems way too obvious to me that that's what's going on. And I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or anything. Don't you think that's what all the leaders of these groups are kind of doing? Now, I do like President Biden. I think he's an honest man. I think he's trying his best. But I'm certain that he wants you to do what he thinks is right rather than do what, I don't know, Rand Paul thinks is right. There is a fight, kind of, going on between two different factions, probably thousands of different factions. My hope for you is that you will think about things, not assume what somebody tells you, especially if you're watching television and talking heads and stuff like that, which I do, I admit it. But don't believe what they all say. I usually watch my favorite programs with one eye on the TV and the other eye is kind of skeptically looking around saying, hey, wait a minute, what's this person got to benefit from telling me this story? I think that all the time. Not that I'm angry about it. I just want to know if they have an alternative motive to telling me that. I want to know what it is so that I can appropriately respond to what they're saying. I think human beings, as a police car goes by our house, I was hoping he wasn't coming for me because the thought police were coming after me. I kind of lost my thought. But anyway, thousands of years ago, people thought the Earth was flat, and yet they were making up rules for us for thousands of years to come. It just doesn't seem reasonable that we would believe somebody from the first century on what to believe, because they didn't know what to believe. They were wrong, dead wrong, in most of the scientific side. For that matter, they were probably just dead wrong about human behavior. I think we have to think about that. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying let's think about things like that. I had a nice discussion with Pastor Craig 2 weeks ago. We talked about it. The good thing about that was I told people what I believe. He told people what he believed. And we both patted each other on the back and shook each other's hand as he left. And I respect him and he respects me. I don't believe what he believes. He doesn't believe what I believe. That's not a bad way to live. Be skeptical. Be sincere. Believe what you believe, not what somebody else believes. Do you understand that? Does that sound right? I hope it is, because that's the way I'm living my life. And Buddy told me I was right. So and Buddy's always right. He's 3 years old, so in dog years, he's 21. So he knows a lot of stuff, right? let's see. in my idea, the ideal life is, well, this is kind of the way my life has gone. In early life, I was driven by food, sleep, and comfort. I wanted all the above. I really didn't know what I wanted. I just knew when I didn't have something that I wanted, I was not comfortable. That's what happens in almost all of our early lives. Now, things change depending on where you're born. I'm talking about people born in free countries, in Europe, in many of the South American countries, in the United States, in Australia, you know, in the countries where people are allowed to think for themselves. I'm not talking about North Korea, Russia, China. I'm thinking of many of the Middle Eastern countries where you're not allowed to think for yourself. You have to think the way the government wants you to think. But the early life for most of us like that is dedicated to getting enough food, getting enough sleep. You have to have water, and you want to be comfortable, right? If you got a little itch somewhere, you cry, and mom and dad come over and give you a scratch somewhere. In your teens, in your 20s, they seem to be dominated by hedonism. Now, there are a lot, and I'm always amazed when I look up the backgrounds of some of the people that I watch on TV, some of the assistants, you know, the people that they're 23 years old and they're working at CNN, and they graduated from Harvard. And there are a lot of people like that in the world that are way earlier than the average person. I'm talking about a guy like me, kind of lazy, kind of... Well, I'm pretty smart, but that doesn't mean much. You know, just a general guy or girl or whatever you are, dog. Anyway, so the teen and the 20s are dominated by hedonism. You want what you want. Now, you may profess to be different, but I think most teenagers and definitely most teenagers, and probably most 20-year-olds, in the back of their mind, they're wondering what they're going to get out of it, right? Okay. In our work and family life, pretty much is run by the responsibilities that are thrown on you. You have to get the kids to school. You have to make sure you make enough money that you can afford food. And you have to have a car so that you can get places. You know, you've got responsibilities. People expect you to do something. If you don't do it, you let them down, and then you're not a nice guy, and they don't like you, and they tell their friends that you're not a nice guy. So in your work life and the, you know, from probably 30 on up to 65, that's the era I'm talking about, you have to be responsible. Now, there are a lot of people in that age group that are absolutely not responsible, but that's kind of a third group, and we can kind of put them on the back burner because a lot of those people nobody cares about. they want their vote. They want their vote, so they'll tell them whatever they want to hear, but they're not really somebody they're going to worry about. Post-work. That's where I am right now. What you might call this work, but it's not really work. I love being involved with the radio station. I've been in radio since I was, 17. So, and I always loved being, I guess I like people to listen to me. I guess I like thinking I'm a star. I know I'm not, but, you know, it gives you a self-delusional feeling that people really care what you think. Well, I'm doing this little spiel here thinking maybe you care what I think. All I'm asking you to do, by the way, you don't have to care what I think. You may absolutely think the opposite of what I think, and that's good. I just want you to think, all right? If we all start thinking and being kind to each other, this will be a much, much, much better world. Whether you're an atheist or a Buddhist or a Baha'ist or a Sikh or a Christian or an atheist, it'll be a much better world if we can all start to think about the other people and care about the other people. Develop a little empathy, right? And think. Try to think through things. Don't accept what other people say. I don't. I really don't. If you don't believe that, ask my wife. Anyway, the post-work time, which I'm in right now, kind of moves into reflection. And that's kind of where I am now. But I'm going to reflect that I have a phone call, and I'd love to hear what this person says. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. This is Pat Henry.
Yeah.
I just wanted to share a good story with you.
Please. Please, Pat.
Our 8.5-year-old Chihuahua got loose two weeks ago.
Oh, no.
And she was on the loose by herself. She had never been out of the house over an hour at a time.
Poor baby.
And yesterday she was found.
Was she okay?
And I'd lost a lot of weight, but, you know, a lot of people over around LaRue and that area helped look for her.
Oh, thank you, people, for
really
helping.
Appreciate what happened.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so happy that's the way the story ends. What's the puppy's name?
Emily.
Emily. Emily, welcome home.
She's been all over Facebook and all that stuff. So.
I love it.
I'll tell you what. It was great to get her back.
Isn't it a horrible thing to wonder
kind of the power of prayer and the help of good people.
There you go. There you go. Love to hear it. And thank you, everybody out in the LaRue area, for helping him find Emily.
All right.
Thanks for your story. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a great story. It made me cry. I don't mind if people know I cry. I used to. I don't anymore. But Emily, we're glad to have you home. I hope you can gain back a little weight. Maybe I ought to run away from home. Maybe then I wouldn't be quite as portly as I am. My little guy, Buddy, apparently is being portly is contagious, because he's gained a little weight since he came to live at our house. But that's been about, I don't know, 2 months, something like that. But he is he's learning to be a good executive producer of this show. Oh, I'm so happy for Emily. I'm so happy for Pat and the entire family. And yeah, it makes your heart leap for joy when you hear stories like that. I go to, what is it, Dodo, and watch how people save other critters. You know, if I had any, I don't know, guts, I would quit eating meat. I hate the thought that we slaughter beef and pigs and chickens, and I'm not so concerned about fish. I don't eat fish. But I hate that we have to slaughter an animal so that we can continue to live. And in fact, we don't need to. But it's kind of nature's way, isn't it? And if you're a Christian, I guess you're supposed to dominate the plants and the animals of the earth. Now, I'm not sure dominate necessarily means slaughter, but that's kind of where we've gotten to, and I do love a good hamburger. But hamburgers, if you think about it, is really disgusting. Not only do we slaughter the poor critter, but then we grind it up. Not that it knows. It's in that state where it has no thought, right, that I was talking about earlier with human beings. Love this story. Thanks a lot for calling in, Pat. I really do. And if you have something you'd like to say, we're about at the end of this this hour. But if you have something you'd like to talk about, please give us a call, 740-383-9944. And big shout out and thanks go to the people of LaRue that helped us get Emily home in 2 weeks. And we had a Chihuahua. My wife and I had Pepe Yo-Yo was his name, and he was called Pepe Yo-Yo because he was Pepe. She called him Yo-Yo because he would jump up and down on his hind feet. and he looked like a yo-yo. Now, my wife had Pepe before we were married, and I got to know Pepe, and Pepe was pretty nice to me, kind of, you know. Some chihuahuas are a little snotty, and Pepe was a little bit, but not bad. But once we got married, I found out that he was kind of protective, let's say, of my wife. You know, when you're first married, one of the things you like to do is get in bed and snuggle with your wife. Pepe wouldn't let me. He would sit on that bed and growl and snarl and dig his bed clothes, and he wanted to get at me. So what we ended up having to do, my wife would take Pepe, put him outside the bedroom, because he would not go to sleep if he wasn't on the bed, so had to be on the bed. But she would take him outside the bedroom, close the door, I'd get into the bed, and then she'd open the door and she'd run and get into bed. Then he'd jump up and go, who is that that just joined us? But he was not mean then. So that's how life is, I guess. Sometimes you have to find ways to get around the anger, right? Maybe that would help in human life. I don't know. Anyway, we were talking about the later part of life where things become very reflective. I think a lot. You know, my wife thinks that I claim that because I'm not doing any work. But I go out probably 4 out of 7 days. I go out and sit in my backyard for anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour, just looking at the birds and watching the trees sway in the wind, listening to the sounds of the leaves. Now, I don't, this just started this year. I used to do kind of a lesser version of that, but now it's almost kind of meditation, and I really love doing that. So that's what I'm doing as I get older, and I think a lot, and I think about things. And I thought about this show two or three of the days this week on what I was going to do. And the nice thing about having iPhone is I could go to my own iPhone and I could put in thoughts that I could pass along to you. Now, you don't have to believe them. You don't even have to listen to them. But if your radio's on, you're going to hear them. All right. I mean, if your radio's on our station, or if you're listening online on over our app that allows you to listen anywhere in the world. I'm still amazed that we had a person listening from Barcelona, Spain. Anyway, where was I? This is a time, a person like me, above 65, or out of work, or whatever you want to call it. It's a time where we reflect more, we do a lot of thinking, we have more family enjoyment. It's amazing how important the family becomes at this age. And I'm not meaning I need somebody to, you know, wipe my brow and put me to bed and stuff like that. I'm pretty active and pretty able to do all that for myself. But the family enjoyment. Last week we went and watched my grandson run cross country. Just the, I don't know, 2 hours that we were with my grandson and his mom and dad, my son and daughter-in-law, those were enjoyable, growing times. And I'm starting to think about things that my dad used to tell me. He said, you have to live each moment as if it were your last. And I kind of have been doing that ever since I retired, 5 years ago? Something like that. And that's why I'm on the radio, because it allows me to keep my brain working. It allows me to keep active. It allows me to care about things. And so that's what we do as we get older. Another thing that you do as you get older, I call it death preparation. You start to think about what's going to happen. You start to, you know, make sure you have plans for your family. You start to think about how you will be reflected in their eyes. And in the final days, I guess, there's wonderment. And you try to pass, and I'm trying to teach my children this, to learn how to pass away from this world, pass away from this mental state that you're in, with dignity, honesty, and caring for those around. I remember my sister said, "I'm going to beat you there," or something to that effect. And I questioned her, "What do you mean you're going to be?" Well, she knew she was dying. And she said, "She's going to beat me there." Now, my sister was a devout Methodist. So she was going to see me on the other side. And I'm glad she had that thought. I'm also glad that I don't have that thought. But I'm comforted in knowing that I'm going to become Stardust someday. All right, well, we'll be back after a 15-minute break, and we'll continue on. Come back, please.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio. The talk